Hey guys, this is Josh Hankin from HankinFitnessSystems.com, and today I bring a very special guest. As with our goal to bring the most innovative coaches to our program, today I have Mr. Chris Frankel. Chris holds a master's degree and is completing his doctorate in exercise science. With over 25 years of experience as a trainer and coach, Chris travels as a strength and conditioning specialist, exercise physiologist, and lecturer. Plus, he is the director of programming for TRX and is a consultant to many military and professional sports teams. So, Chris, thank you so much for spending a couple minutes with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, Josh. Thanks for having me on.
I had the extreme pleasure of meeting Chris a couple months ago when we did our certification up in New York, and instantly I knew I had to talk more to Chris because he just changed just in just a few minutes a couple ways I saw him with some movement principles. So, Chris, we'll get right into it. You know, a lot of people are going to know you from your work with TRX and Fitness Anywhere. You know, what drew you to the TRX program?
Actually, I think I was given the first TRX I got my hands on probably about 4.5 years ago. At the time, I was working with some players on the PGA Tour, and a friend of one of the agents of one of the clients I was working with had just been working with TRX. It was relatively new back then. They handed it to me, gave me one of their early DVDs, and I took it back to my little cave in New Mexico when I was living there and started playing with it, and just realized it was a great way to take body weight training to a new level, and especially for a lot of skill athletes, especially golfers who sometimes get scared with when you put a weight in their hand, but for some reason they don't realize that your body weight and gravity works the same way. They took to it right away, and it really became a great tool for teaching movement, loading and unloading exercises, and imaginations just ran wild with it. It became a great standalone tool and a great complement to the other stuff that I was doing at the time and still continue to do now.
And it seems like TRX has just absolutely exploded. I see it on ESPN. I see it basically everywhere. I seem to turn NCAA journals. It's fantastic to see the program grow so rapidly. You know, but in your mind, though, at being so in-depth with the programming side of it, what do you say to the casual observer that looks at the TRX just, you know, briefly and goes, well, how is this different from, let's say, gymnastics rings or something like that?
You know, it's interesting. My answer to that question has evolved quite a bit just in the 3 years that I've been here. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you take this broad category that, you know, we've kind of coined the phrase of suspension training, but if you think about, you know, climbing on a rope or gymnastic rings, anytime you're kind of taking your body weight and suspending all of it or some of it from an overhead anchor point, it is what it is. You know, what we've really gone out of our way and spent a significant amount of time, energy, and resources in doing was, you know, putting together a systematic approach to how to cue these exercises, how to put together progressions. I mean, that's the one thing I want to say, you know, half an hour into the workshop that I attended of yours in New York, that I knew we were on the same wavelength, because I think you must have spent the first half hour, 45 minutes before you even talked about sandbags, and it was all about, you know, the principles of movements, principles of progression, principles of performance, and that's where I'm coming from, and that's where the company is coming from. It's not about, hey, look at our system, this is all you need. It's like, hey, this is what the body does. What are your particular needs as an athlete, as a coach, as a trainer? And how do we put together this great combination of a training tool, education around it for the professional or for the end user, and then programming? So it's really this great combination of those three things. And it's a little bit of a mind shift for a lot of people when I or someone else from the company walks in and they realize, similar as you do, hey, today's not about the TRX per se. It's about principles of movement, principles of performance, and this is a unique environment, especially with the TRX, the suspension trainer, where you can unload movements, load movements, train cardio, train flexibility, you know, look at movement patterns to complement what you're doing with other pieces of equipment or as a great standalone tool. So the long answer, which I'm famous for instead of giving a short answer, is how does it differ from rings? Single anchor point gives you a little bit more immediate feedback on balance and sometimes some initiation of movements, but it's really the programming and the education that goes with that piece of equipment that then you can apply to rings, or you might be able to apply to other pieces of equipment. But when it comes down to it, the way we've designed it is for our particular system, and it works great.
I have to completely agree, and I, you know, I definitely saw, you know, one reason I fell so in love with the TRX program, what you guys are doing, is I see such parallels into where we're coming from that, you know, the implement is just a vehicle to express our philosophies, and seem like you guys are doing the same thing. You know, along with that, though, a lot of people, you know, they look at YouTube, they see some of the, you know, videos people put out. Well, what do you think are some of the most popular misconceptions people have about your program?
Probably the two biggest things we get are, well, the three biggest things we get are, it's too easy, it's too hard, it's all hype. And when you look at it on YouTube, it's probably fair to get that. I mean, I think you could almost say that about any program. It's really when you get your hands on it and you get the right amount of education that we get a ton of aha moments. I can go to, and I have gone to what I consider, you know, some of the best S&C guys in the land, and they've been using it for a while, and then we say, hey, have you thought about using it for, you know, mobility, and then going right into a strength move. And so now you start to blur this line between what is flexibility, what is mobility, what is strength, and we get a couple of lights turn on, or you get someone who's not used to exercising very much at all, and they say, oh, I can't touch my toes, or I can't do a squat, similar to what you'll hear, you know, Gray or somebody talk about saying, it's not that your hamstrings are tight, it's just that you're not loading things right, or you're not unloading things right. So when we hear someone say it's too easy, we're like, it's not too easy, but we can make it easy. And we hear someone say it's too hard, it's not too hard, but we can make it hard. And it comes back to that whole approach of how do you put the right level of progression for that person's abilities, fitness levels, and their goals. So luckily for me, being kind of a concept guy, it really comes back to what are the principles we're trying to get across and how do we teach them the right way. And that's the misconception, is that it's just something you pick up and you start going to town on. Yeah, you can probably get a great workout with the TRX or with sandbags or with kettlebells or with dumbbells. But once you get that right level of education and progression, it just turns into a whole new world.
Yeah, and one thing I'm sure you hear all the time, especially upon strength coaches that are so number-oriented, is that, you know, maybe the question or the concern of can I really get strong from this type of training? Is that something you hear a lot from coaches?
Dude, I love the fact that you're, like, not shy to ask the hard questions. So anybody who's listening to this and thinking that you're just throwing softballs back and forth kind of in this incestuous way is great. These are great questions.
If it makes you feel embarrassed, the questions I get all the time, too.
You know, I'll give you my geeky answer first, and then I'll give you my kind of more boots on the ground answer. You know, when we talk about this concept of strength, on one level we can just talk about strength being what's the maximum amount of force that a muscle group can exert. You know, if we look at an isometric contraction, or what's your max bench press, or what's your max squat. And since we're talking body weight in terms of absolute strength, this is probably not going to be the best way to increase those maxes. But if we talk about being able to demonstrate strength, even within those confined parameters of a bench, a squat, or a deadlift, and then as you start to move out to, for lack of a better term, functional fitness or sports performance, it's how can you demonstrate the strength in different environments. If you increase your mobility or your ranges of motion and you're able to maintain core stability, or we talk about, you know, proximal stability leading to distal mobility. If you're more stable from the core, you can now demonstrate your upper extremity or your lower extremity strength better. So if I get a power lifter in front of me, which has happened several times, and says, is this actually going to make me stronger? I said, at worst, it's going to help improve your durability, meaning that we're going to be able to we're going to make you feel better going through some of these ranges of motion. Worst case scenario is it's not going to make you any less strong, but forget power lifters who are used to pushing up a bunch of weight, and we show them some pre-activation exercises or some great stretching exercises, and so they get down and they go, you know what, I actually like that piece of equipment. So it can make you stronger when we talk about this larger view of what are all the components of generating force. You know, are you able to generate good core stability? Do you have appropriate range of motion? Can we put you in some unusual positions? There's some exercises, because we have our mad scientist lab here. We're always trying to do things on the TRX, and probably 50% of the stuff we do, we're like, yeah, that's cool, but we probably should never show that to anybody because it's a little bit too goofy. But we're coming up with some really neat unilateral stuff that's in a very challenging position. So imagine doing a one-arm push-up with your hand on the TRX suspension trainer. So now you've got this incredible amount of stability coming from the core and the shoulder girdle, and then turning around and taking to a traditional either bench press or dumbbell press, and we're just seeing great carryover. So my short answer is yes. That was my geeky answer, and my more practical answer is yes, it's going to get you stronger because it's going to make you able to express your strength in a different a variety of environments.
Well, and that's a great answer, and something I've admired by, you know, my numerous exposures to several staff members of your program is no one's been dogmatic about using the TRX exclusively. It's been about trying to find how to integrate it with your existing program or your goals. And so for people that are listening right now, I mean, in the few minutes I spent with Chris up in New York, you showed us a couple of variations that were extremely powerful, and I would say would challenge even, you know, the top lifter as far as finding out their weaknesses. And that seems to be something that's kind of unique to the TRX, Chris. And I don't know if you necessarily agree that it really can expose those, I guess, as Dan John would call strength leakages. Do you find that to be true?
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that it's a double-edged sword. It's because you have this this single anchor point, it can let you, for the average person or even for the above-average person, they can get on there and they can still mask their weaknesses. But once you get somebody that says, hey, change this foot position or change the angle or make sure you're maintaining your alignment, you're not kind of defaulting into this little bit of hip flexion that you might not be aware of, and we get you in that proper alignment, and then all of a sudden their eyes open up and they go, oh, I'd actually never done it that way. Yes, we can actually get you in a position where it exposes those weaknesses and the strength leakages, and then sometimes on the, you know, the best case scenarios, it really becomes almost this motor learning of, you know, how do I sequence this contraction? And we might be able to clean up those weaknesses within the span of one session, or it might be something that's really a true muscle weakness or a muscle being actually short someplace or needing to break tension someplace else, and it takes a few more places. But it becomes a great assessment tool. A mutual friend of ours, a guy named Mark Toomey, really said something profound. I think it was by mistake. I hope Mark
had to be. Had to be.
We were talking about the Turkish getup, and he goes, hey, you can perform it as a screen, you can perform it as an exercise, or you can perform it as a lift. And I thought that was really powerful, and the technique might change, but are you doing something to clear the hips or to make sure that the core is engaged, or are you doing it as an exercise, meaning you're trying to bang out some reps or get some conditioning in there, or are you actually performing it as a lift where you might only do two or three reps because you want to keep you know, your CNS nice and clean. Same approach we've really adopted not only on the TRX suspension trainer but everything else is, are we doing this as a practice? Are we doing this as conditioning? Or are we doing this as a screen? So once we expose those things in this suspended environment, now do we need to condition them? And then how do we just kind of go after as much of pure strength after it as we can?
Absolutely. You know, something we had talked to coaches like Robert Dos Remedios about is the current trend. It seems to be where everyone wants to rush to their workouts, rush to their exercises. And something I've seen, I think you talk about briefing and some other staff members, is actually the complete opposite, is making things tougher by slowing things down. Could you sort of expand on that and maybe how that would be relevant to performance training?
Oh, sure. You know, this is something that if I go back to my days when I was up in front of the classroom, we talk about the force velocity curve. Is the slower you go, the more force you have to generate. As you start to increase your speed of movement, the less force you can generate. And one isn't necessarily better than the other, but there's definitely, you know, different training adaptations that take place. And then with my exposure to Pavel and hard style training, it really came back home of not just going through the motions of how fast can I do an atomic push-up or how fast can I do a power pull on the TRX. It's if we slow these things down, you now have to make sure that you're maintaining tension throughout that whole movement. So it really starts to really expose your weaknesses or let you generate that sequencing pattern in a different higher force, higher tension environment. And once we know you can do it there, adding speed to it is absolutely fine, but it kind of comes back to the whole idea of, are you trying to perform a lift? Are you doing some conditioning? Are you doing some screening? But if anybody out there has been doing atomic push-ups for time and seeing how many you can get done in 30 seconds, that's absolutely great. Then the other idea is, how slowly can you perform a TRX atomic push-up, and all of a sudden you realize, yeah, this is harder in a whole different way.
Yeah, and it's not, I think you said before, it's not an either-or scenario, but it, you can almost periodize that in a way, couldn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's something that, you know, I know I haven't had you as a team leader. I think someday we'll maybe get it the same RKC. But it's something that when I was lucky enough to spend some time with Pavel, he really kind of driving that whole approach of sometimes you want to move fast, sometimes you want to move slow. And if you think of like a naked warrior approach, body weight doesn't mean that you're always trying to move fast, generate as much internal tension as you can, and you start to periodize those things. Where are you really working on strength? Where are you starting to work on condition? Where are you starting to work on speed of movement?
I think that really expands, you know, the lifter or the coach's, you know, toolbox from just focusing on load purely. And that's where the strength increases from these, you know, similar implements we're talking about now sort of carries over. So in that same thought process, you know, what made you sort of interested in combining the TRX with the kettlebell? Because you guys have some new programs now, the iron core circuits. You know, what was the thought process behind combining those two implements?
I think part of it was we wanted to make sure that we weren't falling into this category of you only should be using a suspension trainer, that it'll replace everything else out there. And so when I went to Randy, the owner of the company, and I said, you know, hey, let's look at, you know, expanding out with other experts in the field. At first, naturally, there were, you know, people here that were worried about, hey, are we going to be taking some shine away from our piece of equipment? And luckily, it turned out, because maybe my job was on the line for that one, it turned out that it was just the opposite, that the feedback we got from especially the military, but also in the strength and conditioning and the fitness world is, hey, it's kind of a breath of fresh air for someone to come in and say, hey, there's a great alignment, not only in terms of the tool you use, but in the philosophy and the approach. And that's what I really found great about working with. We worked with Buddy Lee to do some jump rope things in there. We've worked with Pavel now to do the kettlebell work. As long as it meets a couple of criteria, one, we go to the leaders in the space, and two, it kind of maps to this idea of fitness anywhere, something that you can do that is high-level, world-class fitness that you can do just about any place. That's where we want to align with. So I just came from a great meeting with some of the major decision-makers in the military, and the whole idea for them is economies of scale, meaning they don't want to necessarily have to have someone learn how to do just a TRX and then how to do an RKC, and then how would I bring the sandbag in the mix, and then what do we do with battling ropes? It's what are some of the principles that just carry across all these things, and that's what we were pretty proud about combining with Pavel and with these other upcoming projects we have. It's principle-based training. This is a great tool to use this, but, you know, we're really going to start talking about, are you making sure that you are strong where you need to be strong, stable where you need to be stable, mobile where you need to be mobile, and then those carry over to different types of training, different types of sports, different types of activities.
That's really interesting because it seems like, again, the tools you just mentioned all break sort of the traditional or the more traditional strength conditioning things, measures of, you know, how much do you squat, how much do you bench, all those measurements that maybe some of us that have come up through the strength conditioning ranks are familiar with. You know, so what's the maybe the Chris Frankel standard for, you know, demonstrating strength? You know, do you have some criteria in your head that you use when you consult with, you know, athletes and so forth?
I'll actually use I like using a lot of the traditional approaches. I really like conceptually what Gray came up with in Athletic Body and Balance, where you had this this pyramid where the broadest base of the pyramid should be, you know, this movement, this idea of movement. Are you competent with body weight movement? When I was teaching exercise phys at University of New Mexico, we had a class called Designs for Fitness where we talked about all the components of fitness. We talked about strength, cardiovascular endurance, cardiovascular power, muscular strength, muscular power, body composition. Can we test someone on a VO2 max, on an isometric hold, on a max bench press? What was never really addressed, and I started teaching the last couple of years I was there, is this kind of missing component of fitness of, can you move well? And is there a way to quantify at some level how well you're able to do some foundational movements, whether it be squat, lunge, push, pull? You know, different people categorize them different ways. So making sure you can move well first with body weight. Another reason suspension trainer so great is because it's really variations on body weight exercise. Once we know you can move well, then let's add some, you know, athleticism to it. How much can you, and how well can you vertically jump? How well can you change direction? Now let's load you up. You know, let's look at your bench pressing. Let's look at your squatting. Let's look at your cleaning. I'm a big Olympic lifting guy. I love for people that have the background and some of the skill set of how well can you or how much can you snatch? How much can you clean and jerk? For those that don't, you know, how much can you go back to your deadlift and your squat? And so, once again, putting on my geek hat, it's not so much one or two exercises that I would look at. I'd like to put together a battery of exercises and then see where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are. Someone recently just asked and said, hey, if you took the TRX out of the mix and you only had one exercise, which one would you go with? I'd probably still go with the deadlift, and then I'd get on my TRX right afterwards and make sure I got all the mobility I need for everything else across there. But just because we're a body weight based company and we do a lot of programming around here, we're still all about understanding that people need to be loaded up. When we go in and, you know, we talk to a Florida State University or we talk to, you know, any of the professional teams, these guys should not stop their clean, their deadlift, their squat. Great way to look at it, but then how do we put some other qualitative factors on top of it? I'm a big fan of the FMS still. It's got a lot of research behind it. It's got a lot of good practical application behind it. If you put that into the big picture, I think we measure movement, we measure power output, and then we measure strength. So no simple answers from me. That's what everybody hates about me. That's why my 18-year-old daughter never asks me questions anymore, because I usually end up asking her more questions than I give her answers. And that's why I hire people around me that can answer these questions better than I can. But that's really how my mind's working these days, is instead of coming up with one or two answers to questions, I say, okay, what other questions do we need to put around these? But I'll go to like a Mike Boyle and I'll say, hey, you know, what do you think are the best three exercises people need to look at? And, you know, he'll come back with his single leg approach or his front squat approach. And I'll just try and take all those things and put in with the population that we're looking at.
No, that's thought-provoking. I think that's always a good thing, is to make us all challenge ourselves and our ideas and see if we can come up with new ideas or reinforce the ideas we already have. So you know, playing off that, though, Chris, you know, after you've seen, you know, working with, you know, you mentioned Florida State, for example, how are you seeing, or maybe what are the best ways that you're recommending, you know, strength and conditioning coaches start to introduce the TRX into their programs?
Well, it you know, sometimes it depends on what the program looks like. So if we're talking about you know, like a big time Division I school or even at the pro level, change is always a hard thing for people, and so we try to go initially the path of least resistance. So if we come in and we show them how to use suspension training to warm up, to do some mobilization, we talk about teaching the squat from the bottom up, get some mobility in those hips. Teaching a overhead squat using the TRX from the bottom up, and people start to see that their core lights up, and they use it as a warm-up or as a pre-activation, and now all of a sudden it's in the program. Great. Next thing we'll do is we'll add it in at a squat rack as part of a station as an auxiliary lift or almost as a recovery lift or as a mobility in between your primary lifts of the day. And then a lot of guys are understanding that this, hey, this becomes a great metabolic conditioning component, and we can do it without a lot of pounding. So if you take something like our atomic push-ups or our lunge, or we have a burpee in there without the hop in there, so heart rate gets up, a lot of full body stuff. It really becomes, you know, what Coach Dose really calls his cardio strength training. We just start to titrate it in there, and then the coaches now that have been using it for a while really start to see it as an in-season, quick way to keep your strength and conditioning up. And going back to foundational movements, hey, here's a press, here's a pull, here's a unilateral leg exercise, here's a bilateral leg exercise. And the guys that are really taking it to the next level are using it almost in between their primary lifts, either as an activation or to break tension. So if it's a big push day, they may use it for a lot of loaded stretching in between sets. If it's a big push day, they also might do some lower body work on it to keep the mobility or get prepped for the next day. For those guys that are, you know, in the military or deployed, or for the sports teams that are on the road, it becomes their sole source sometimes. If you're a Division I athlete, there's sometimes if you're on a tennis team or a golf team where you might not get into the weight room for, you know, weeks on end because of your travel schedule. And now there's a way that this becomes a sole source to maintain their strength and conditioning and their stretching and their mobility work in there. So different universities that we've been able to stay in touch with and different pro teams, they get pretty progressive with it. And then we're always surprised because it's a pretty intuitive programming piece of equipment that people that have been using it for 3 or 4 years, that then they say, hey, have you guys done this? And they show us their program, and we're like, wow, you guys have really, really taken it and taken it to the next level. But short answer, once again, is we usually try to sneak it in as a mobility warm-up exercise, then the basics of a press and a pull. Then we start adding in some unilateral leg work, and then it's not too long that they just take it and run with it and start programming it on their own.
That's awesome. And, Chris, don't feel bad because, you know, short answers make for boring interviews.
Well, good. I got news for you. This won't be boring then. I got no such thing as a short answer.
Well, I really appreciate you, Tony. I don't want to take advantage of it. So we're going to start to sort of wrapping up a little bit. But, you know, you mentioned a couple of the ways that, you know, obviously programs are, you know, utilizing the TRX and the programs behind it. You know, it seems like everyone, I'm sure you run into this all the time, you know, people look at what you can do with the TRX and they want to do everything. Do you sort of have a mindset of, hey, you know what, if you start off with these 3 to 5 core lifts, you want to show proficiency and mastery of these before you start stepping in some of the other directions, or do you give them sort of a more carte blanche approach to it?
I'm sure as you know, once you walk into someone's weight room and you're in their kitchen trying to tell them what to do with it, sometimes doesn't work out so well. But the people that really come up and honestly ask, it's like, hey, let's, you know, we'll show them our progressions for, here's a, you know, we'll actually come out of the block saying, hey, let's make sure that your plank is really solid, meaning that, you know, everything from collarbone down to mid-thigh is, you know, how to stabilize that. And we'll have them plank on the ground, then we'll have them plank in the TRX. And then we start talking about a chest press on the TRX or a row on the TRX really becomes a moving plank, and we're making sure you're engaging from the core first. But we talk about, hey, here's a push, here's a pull, here's a squat, here's a lunge. Once you can really get good at those in a suspension training environment, and then you want to start adding on some more of the, you know, neat stuff, the fun stuff, that's great. Once they master those four, then we kind of say, hey, look, here's a bend, here's a rotate, here's a step. We try to get them from those foundational movements, and then we have this acronym that we call FLAC, F-L-A-C, that kind of guides everything we do. Where the F is, we want them to focus on the movement, what should be stable, what should be mobile, let them know what it should look like, and let them know what it should feel like. So we might unload them at a nice, easy body angle. L is for the learn your appropriate level of progression, meaning just because you can do a pistol squat with a hop in it, let's make sure that you focused on the movement so you know what that movement looks like. And then if you should be on two legs, be on two legs. Don't jump to one leg. The A means apply. What's the training stimulus you're looking for? Are you looking for strength? Are you looking for power? Are you looking for mobility? And then the C is really the challenge, where I think people want to go to that kind of that metabolic package. And we have no problem with taking some high-intensity interval training on the TRX, but we want it built on strong, focused movement. So we almost have this hierarchy of focus on the movement, learn your appropriate level of progression, apply the training stimulus you want, and then let's challenge you with a nice little metabolic package at the end in those foundational movements.
Awesome. What I love about it is it's principle-based. So it really, if you think about in context to anything we're doing as strength coaches, you can follow the same line of thinking, couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. That's why it becomes fun. We've really, I shouldn't say we, I'm still selling this to some of the other people around here. I really look at the suspension trainer as a vehicle to teach people how to move better. And once you move better, then we can add some strength and some power to it. But, yeah, that's why it should have. If it doesn't have carryover to other training tools and to other into sports and your tasks in life, then we here haven't done our job in terms of the education and content of it. But that's why I think it mixes so well with everything and is a natural for what you're doing with the sandbags. And I know that I don't know if it was Toomer or you that started talking about, you know, moving a living weight. You know, so it's moving around on you. I mean, what a great compliment to what we're doing and to what you're doing every place else. It's almost, I've just had a conversation with a professional fighter today, as a matter of fact, where he was talking about doing a lot of burpees and then jumping up and hitting mitts in the TRX and then doing the same thing without the TRX. So going from a very unstable environment to a stable environment and understanding how much more power you have. And I think that carries over really well to a lot of the sandbag stuff is you start to pick up a moving and living weight, and you get all those little stabilizers, and you really have to be conscious of how you're moving. Then you go back to a solid weight. Man, the carryover is fantastic.
That's pretty profound for a fighter. No, I'm just kidding.
Dude, not only that, I wasn't going to argue with him because the dude is badass.
Well, you know, finishing up, Chris, is there anything that you see going on, you know, in relationship to how the TRX is being implemented or even perceived that just drives you up the wall, or do you think people are getting it for the most part?
I would say that I think the biggest thing that I won't say drives me up the wall, because I actually used to be in the same school, is this thought process of, you know, hey, I know how to use a TRX. I don't need to go take a class. Just like I'm sure somebody would say, hey, I don't need to know how to pick up a sandbag. I don't need to go take a class in kettlebell. I don't know how to take a class because I never took a class in cable crossover machines, or I never took a class in dumbbells. And I think that's kind of short-sighted in terms of if there's somebody like me or some of our other programming people who spend probably way too much time on the TRX, we're going to know way more about some of the subtleties than anybody else would, just like my experience was working with Pavel and actually several other RKC guys. You know, I've been throwing around kettlebells for probably 3 years, but then when I actually spent those 6 months getting ready for the DVD we shot, it was like I had no idea not only how to use a kettlebell, but really how to focus on, you know, training, even body weight stuff. So when they say, I know how to use it, I don't really need to go take that. Oh, I've seen it before. Oh, it's been done before. The tool itself, some iteration of it might have been around for a while, but when people actually spend their time, whether it be, you know, sandbag, kettlebell, TRX, to really find out all the nuances of how to teach people how to use it, that people think they're not going to learn anything new when they come into the mix, I think that gets a little frustrating. And then other than that, the things we almost started off the conversation with, hey, this is too easy, hey, this is too hard, and they put it aside, and then going back to what they've always done, I think just taking that little bit of extra time to say, okay, what's going on here? If this many people in the military are using it and this many people in pro sports are using it, there's probably something there that I might be missing.
Yeah, and you guys are really subtle about this, but, you know, maybe I'm a little more, you know, strong about it, especially sometimes in the way I've sold you guys actually to some of the military programs we've done. In my perception is that, you know, really when you buy a TRX, you're not buying just a TRX. You're investing in the education and the concepts that you guys have developed, and I can highly relate to that. Do you think that's something that often gets overlooked when people are looking, you know, at a suspension unit, that you're getting so much more than just the unit itself?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to call out a lot of fitness guys who aren't good business people, because I'm a terrible business person. That's why I was smart enough to hook up with people that know way more about business than I do. But if all we're talking about is the suspension trainer itself, and you look at it as a piece of equipment, and then it just becomes a price game, then it's who can spend the least amount of money in producing it, and who can spend the least amount of money in doing your R&D on it. We've decided to go just the opposite way. You know, what's the highest level of programming and research and education? I mean, we spend time pulling our hair out. Well, not me anymore, but everybody else pulling their hair out, doing little things on, you know, what's the appropriate steps for progressions? What are the right things to say when you're cueing a fitness class versus a strength and conditioning community versus a military community? How can we get the highest amount of information across in the fewest words? And what are the basic movements that you should master before you start moving on? All these things sound pretty easy, but then when you start breaking it down, it's if you really want to try to be the best at what you do, whether it be the education part of it, the programming part of it, or developing the gear part of it, it's pretty tough. So I think there's a lot of people out there that understand that when you're plopping down your hard-earned money, it's not just about, you know, what's coming in that box, but it's the thought and the intellectual property that goes behind it.
Absolutely. You know, it's something that Alan Cosgrove said to us a couple of weeks ago. You know, when you go to a seminar, you're not paying for a seminar, you're investing in your business. And I definitely see a parallel there to when you buy quality of program and you associate yourself with quality coaches and systems. So Great stuff, Chris. You know, just to finish up now, is there anything new on board that, you know, people can look forward to from seeing from you and the TRX programs?
Yeah, absolutely. We I just spent, for anybody that knows me at all, they know that my least favorite place to be is in front of the camera. So we just spent the last 2 days doing some filming for what we're going to be launching here soon called TRX TV, which is there's going to be some free content as well as some for pay content, but we're really going to, you know, open the floodgates on the past 3 years of what we've learned in the lab, what we've learned in the field, and, you know, how to best optimize your training. We're calling it TRX training, which really goes beyond, you know, just being on a suspension trainer, but how do you cue, how do you plank, you know, how should you be thinking about doing your squats, how can you take what seemingly looks like a chest press and turn it into a full body exercise. So we've really spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to get the biggest bang for the buck. The next thing we're working on is how do we optimize what we have going on into our military programming. So I think 2011 is going to be a good year for me, a bad year for seeing my kids because there's a lot of traveling on the horizon, but a lot of great stuff coming out from the whole company in terms of new content, new programming, and new education. So we've kind of trailblazed this whole space of suspension training, and now we're going to make sure that we stay out in front of everybody else and collaborate with what we consider to be the best in the industry. That's why here comes the suck up. Why I'm on the phone with you today, Josh?
That's why I got to give you the $20, huh? No, I appreciate it, Chris. I mean, it's fantastic. And again, you know, I have nothing but the utmost respect for you guys. And you know, it really, you know, I just said today on Facebook, it drives me up the wall being in a similar position when people just look at things from a price point value, because it's sort of the Picasso thing, you know, where he paints a picture in 5 minutes and charges someone $500. Well, it's not the picture. It's his years of, you know, experience and expertise that makes it so powerful. You know, the suspension trend, the TRX by itself is a nice tool, but the education you guys give it is what makes it invaluable. So thank you so much, Chris, for sharing your time and information with us today.
No, thanks, Josh. Thanks for the kind words. And glad to have done the little bit of collaboration we've done now and looking forward to doing more in the future.
Absolutely. And for people listening, you know, right now is a great time to head over to fitnessanywhere.com. The TRX, I believe, are having a killer sale. It's a great time to pick one up for yourself, family member, or for your facility. And also, Chris is also known as the Professor, if I'm correct, over there. Has a great blog. If you want to see more of his education, hop over to the community area at fitnessanywhere.com and make sure to check out. So, Chris, I hope to talk soon, my man. Be good. Have a happy holiday. And let's stay in touch.
All right, Josh. Thanks a lot. Same back to you. And look forward to seeing you in person again soon.
Absolutely. This is Josh Hankin from HankinFitnessSystems.com. We'll be coming back with some great coaches in the near future.